Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
When I was a kid, my dad was a cop. Then he was in forensics. Then he was a New South Wales firefighter. This season of Loose Units is called Hot Stuff Coming Through. And apart from having an incredibly cool and stupid name, it's going to reveal the untold side of being a firefighter in Australia. Enjoy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Loose Units Hot Stuff Coming Through. I am your host, Paul Verhoeven, and across from me and a billion miles away at this point is my ex-cop and ex-firefighter dad, John Verhoeven. Dad, we're doing it on the phone today because we've had a bit of a tech issue, haven't we?
Yeah, what a bummer. I was sitting here all excited with my magnificent studio set up. No, it's magical. You've got to see it.
I know. Look, I know it's good, but we are separated by a gulf of distance, so why not chuck a tech issue into the mix? Look, one of the great things about this show is that occasionally we go on a tangent, and we've had quite a few people comment on, like, why didn't you pursue this line of inquiry? Why didn't you chase down that lead? Why didn't you force Dad to finish this story? Well, last week on Loose Units, you mentioned something about a crossbow, and we've had no end of hassling about that case. So this episode, we're going to dip back in time and go back to the police era. And Dad, would you like to explain to everyone the case of the crossbow killer?
Can I just digress for a sec?
Okay. Yeah, of course, it's on brand. Yep.
I've had two coffees this morning. I'm like, if I can just say this to the listeners, firstly, I'd like to say that it's such an honour and a privilege to be with you all twice a week. It's thrilling. In fact, and for people that maybe listen more than once, it could be three or four or even five times a week.
Please don't, Dad. I mean, that puts in my head the notion of doing five podcasts a week with you.
No, it's scary. But what happened was because I like to sort of mix, you know, funeral, police, fire and all those other stories into the mix, because that's just how my brain works. Some people might question that. I was fortunate enough to pick up a really good collection of antique inkwells and associated paraphernalia on the weekend, which I was really happy about. Are you sort of at this juncture thinking, what, Dad, what are you talking about?
Yeah, I think my cerebellum is fused, but yeah.
One of the items that I bought was this sort of turn of the probably 120 year old. It looks like an ink well, like an ink bottle. You know, when you go and buy ink, well, you don't know because you're not 100. You should have to be about 130 years old to have bought this particular one.
Sure.
Which you're obviously not.
Well, yeah, I mean, Dad, I do ride my penny farthing to and from the oil refinery every day, but all right.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
The thing is, Paul, that I've got to stop saying the thing is. Oh, God. One of the things that I bought was this ink container, and I went to open it. It's got a cork in the top. Mm. And out popped a spring-loaded, 100-and-something-year-old snake. It's about, maybe I'll do a, I might do one of my slow-mo films that people know me for on Instagram. I might do a slow-mo. Actually, I'll do a slow-mo film even maybe today, and they'll get to appreciate what on earth I'm talking about. The thing is, this little snake pops out. It's coiled, and that's how I am, Paul, with the podcast. I'm like a coiled spring.
You're like an ancient clockwork snake crammed into into an obsolete inkwell.
Like, not like, perhaps like a genie.
Yeah.
I, And I do the odd magic trick, but I can't grant people's wishes.
If you're a genie, please, can you grant the following wish? Can you get back on track and tell us the story of the crossbow thing? Actually, no. First, I would like to quickly, before we get into the crossbow story, I'd like to quickly thank everybody because, Dad, I don't know if you knew this, but Electric Blue is on the true crime pre-orders charts on Booktopia, and it's at number 3. We are roaring up the charts.
I didn't know. I did not know that.
I know. Well, I wanted to surprise you on the show.
I'm between moderately and very excited.
Great. Well, let's see if we can upgrade that.
No, I am very excited. That's phenomenal. Thanks for not telling me that, because that injects an element of surprise into the tone of my voice.
You sound like a robot when you say that, by the way.
I always get, yeah. Look, that's freaky.
Isn't it great? I mean, first of all, thank you so much, everyone, for pre-ordering the book. Secondly, if you haven't already, I reckon we can get this up to number 1. So if you head across to Booktopia or call your local bookstores or head across to penguin.com.au and look up Electric Blue, and oh my God, if we can get this on the charts before it's even come out, who knows where we'll go in the future? It's so very exciting.
I'm excited. Too.
Yep. Well, okay, now that we've had that little diatribe, let's go on to the crossbow story. You mentioned crossbows, and then we went off track.
It's very unusual for us to go off track.
It is off brand, yeah.
Yeah. I mentioned the crossbow, and I couldn't believe that I'd never mentioned it before.
Mm.
This is a really, really terrible story. Do you want me to sort of go through the whole spiel?
I want literally the whole thing from beginning to end, from soup to nuts.
Okay. Well, this happened on the northern beaches of Sydney, and it happened at a place called Deep Creek Reserve, which is up Narrabeen Way. And for people that are interstate and overseas, just go to Google Maps or whatever maps you use. You might use sort of ancient maps.
Nautical maps.
Well, which won't help at all.
No.
If they're very old, because the suburb won't be on the map. But if you use an electronic map... I mean, it's weird. You know how on the ABC, on our national broadcaster, they can never ever, you know, they get in trouble for saying Google?
Yeah, because I used to have that, Dad, I used to have that problem on Triple J. I'd go in to talk, like, review an iPhone app and I'd have to...
As if you're advertising it, but, I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, the default thing, well, for a lot of people, is Google.
It is. The problem with Google is, and I'm sure everyone knows this, but the more you use Google, the better the algorithm gets, which means if you want to quit, you can't quit Google now.
Back to the suburb. Imagine in the middle of Sydney, which is it's a thriving metropolis with a pretty big population, and as I've said before, the world's largest single entity fire department, which is pretty amazing because it covers such a vast area. But imagine in the middle of a beautiful city like Sydney, there's just this immense amount of bushland, and you come across it from in various suburbs. And when you drive down at Narrabeen and you head towards the city, you go along the Wakehurst Parkway.
Mm.
And there have been some amazing things that have happened on that particular stretch of road. I knew a detective who was in a car accident on that stretch, same stretch, and he had his arm ripped off.
Whoa.
Yeah, lost an arm. He was actually a pretty tough detective, but he softened up a little bit when he only had one arm, which has really got nothing to do with the story, except to say that that road is infamous for all sorts of things. But this particular guy, he had this aversion to, you know how we were chatting about hate crime?
Yeah.
And the sort of stuff that we mentioned in the last few episodes about that photo that I'd taken that was in relation to North Head, where the guy had been, you know, there'd been some really terrible violent hate crimes where they'd thrown homosexuals off the cliff.
Yeah.
And this was one of those haunts. I don't know whether you're familiar with that term, haunt, but it's a term where people would go generally at night time, but not always, to elicit sort of back in those days, if I can say that, it was kind of less in the open.
Yeah.
You know, the Mardi Gras and things were just sort of gaining traction, and I think there was a lot less acceptance of all these issues, which is now, thank God, becoming, you know, society's moving on. But this particular guy had an aversion. But what happened was he was actually a repressed homosexual. And he went down one day. He was obsessed with hunting, and he was obsessed. He had this really, really great knife that he used to brag about, and he kept it really, really sharp. And he went down there with a crossbow, and he shot this guy. He murdered him. And then what he did with his body, he then hid his body in the water. There's a creek down there. And then a few days later, he came back with his knife, and he began to dismember the body of this young male victim. And he had a slight problem. He needed to get the body, dismembering a body is one thing, but you've got to then get rid of all the body parts. So what he did, he spent a long, long time cutting up the body into numerous pieces, and then he would put individual body parts in a backpack because he only had a motorbike.
Right.
And he would then ferry the said body parts back to his apartment on the northern beaches, and he would then put all the body parts in a refrigerator. Now, he had a girlfriend at the time, and the girlfriend actually, she knew what he'd done. And how she knew what he'd done is that occasionally, now I want the listeners to just pause slightly because I'm about to say something seriously fucked up, which will probably make some of the listeners pretty happy because I know we've been a bit light on gore. But I thought, no, bugger it, let's get right back into it. But what this guy would do, and this is all in the public domain because there might be some people that'll go and fact check what I say.
Yeah.
But he would take the head out occasionally and roll it around the floor for fun because he used to suffer from boredom. And let's face it, who doesn't roll heads around on their living room floors that they store in a freezer when they're bored? But worse than that, Paul, and this girl, his girlfriend, she would be sitting there freaking out, going, oh, golly, I can't cope.
Well, I'm sure she didn't say golly.
Maybe she didn't. Maybe she said, well, I wasn't there, obviously. But, you know, but the thing is, Paul, she couldn't cope. But what didn't she do? She didn't call the police.
Well, that was exactly my first thought is, like, you, first of all, if you become aware that your partner has murdered people and is an absolute psychopath, surely she'd just wait until he'd gone for one of his rides and then go and call the cops, right?
Exactly, yeah. But the problem is also that, look, they'd met at the at a Christian church on the on the northern beaches.
Yeah.
But it turns out that he's an interesting guy. I mean, believe you me, this story is so fascinating. It's so fascinating. And I'm going to take you on a bit of a mind trip that is bloody amazing. When I think about this story, it's got all sorts of twists and turns. But he met this particular girl at a Christian City church on the northern beaches.
Which one?
The Christian City Church.
No, which branch, for lack of a better
term? The Christian City Church. They were in Brookvale.
Oh, I'm sorry, Brookvale.
They were and funnily enough, that's weird. You can keep asking the same question. I keep giving you the same answer. That's pretty funny. We could do a comedy routine.
Sure.
But he was actually a closet Satanist. He was a devil worshipper.
Hang on. So he's a closet gay, right?
Yep.
Which is tragic because no one should ever... Yep. And then he's also a closet Satanist, which is like this whole other kink. Just for the record, how often did you encounter Satanists when you were on the force?
Well...
Because you know that typically speaking, Dad, Satanists are kind of chill. Like they're not...
No, but Paul, you remember the Knights Templar?
Yeah.
In fact, you did a bit of a thesis on it, didn't you?
I did, yes.
The goat head, Baphomet.
Yeah, Baphomet, which was, by the way, Baphomet wasn't actually worshipped by the Knights Templar. Baphomet was created and then they basically had to confess to worshipping this fictional deity under torture so they had an excuse to kill them, but yeah.
Yeah, the Knights Templar... Again, we could do a whole podcast on the Knights Templar. But knowing that my lovely mother listens to this podcast, as do some of her friends, I'm not going to go into what the Knights Templar used to do.
Life is full of awesome what-ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
But I've read some stuff about it, and it even makes some of today's really seriously bad people look very, very mediocre. I don't know whether you've actually gone into the Knights Templar, but boy, oh boy, they were out there. But that's another story. So the thing is, Paul, that this particular guy, he was actually a devil worshipper. But he had I don't know why he went to the Christian City Church. Perhaps it was to seek salvation, or did he have ulterior motives? But he was clearly pretty bad. You know how I said he used to roll the head around like a bowling ball?
Yeah, yeah.
Lower in the apartment in Collaroy. Do you know what else he used to do? This or even it possibly was. He used to get other body parts and set them up on the floor and make jigsaws out of them. He actually used to mix all the parts around and then try and put them together in some human form.
Hang on. Just quickly, all you've told us about is when he went and killed that one person.
Yeah. He's killed one so far. And then he dismembers the person. Yeah. So he left the body in the water, which is kind of simple in a way, because whether he did this wittingly or unwittingly is that would have softened up the body somewhat. Because as you and the listeners know, I had a lot to do with bodies that have been out in the ocean, you know, drownings, etc.
Yeah.
And the body does soften up, which means... And his knife, he used to brag that his knife could cut a tomato easier than a razor blade. He used to carry the stone, the sharpening stone, with him. But he was very articulate and fairly sort of, I won't say charismatic, but he was a very interesting character. Smart, very smart. But his girlfriend, see, they were into drugs and they used to do a lot of LSD.
Right.
And back in those days, you used to be able to get confetti and it had been dipped in LSD. So you could do two things. Imagine going to a wedding, celebrating the wedding, then tripping on the confetti.
Well, the pigeons often eat the stuff that gets thrown in the air at weddings. You'd have pigeons tripping the light. Fantastic.
They just fly into buildings and break their neck.
Through buildings.
So he'd be trying to reassemble and playing around with these frozen body parts. And the girl sitting there, imagine she's off her face, tripping on whatever, and looking down at this psychopath. But she loved him, and love's a funny thing. He managed to sort of get her involved in his way of thinking. Now, before I tell you about the second horrific crime they committed, I say they, because this was him committing the first crime, and she's complicit in that she knows things and doesn't notify the authorities. So because of her inaction, one can then justifiably surmise that the next crime that was committed could have been thwarted by the authorities if she had have notified them, which she failed to do. So by omission, she's set the path for the next horrendous crime.
Yeah, of course.
But prior to going down that path, Paul, I would like to say to you, and this is going to creep some people out really badly, and that is that we've made mention of people that do terrible things to animals. This particular guy, he used to torture cats.
Oh, Dad.
No, hear me out. This is really important. Christine is sitting over there on the lounge. She just looked over and grimaced at me. But that's not the worst part of that particular story. And I want you to really listen carefully to what I'm about to say. His grandmother used to encourage him to do that. She used to show him how to do it, his grandma. And that's a fact. Now, what do you think of that? Okay, I can tell by your silence that that's pretty horrific, but that's a fact.
Yeah, look, sometimes, you know...
No, it's interesting.
Go on.
Isn't it fascinating? What on earth... I mean, I don't think there are many people out there whose grandmothers would have done that.
How many people who commit terrible crimes do you think were taught to do those things by their parents or grandparents or loved ones?
And I'm not making excuses for some of the worst living scum, bad people. And this guy was clearly, as stated by criminal psychiatrists, he was a psychopath. But I do draw mention to the worst, most diabolical prisoner in Tasmania at the time, who may still be alive, I don't know, but he was destined never ever to be released. I put a caveat in before what I'm about to say, in that I'm in no way justifying his actions. However, for those people that have been to Tasmania, particularly in winter, will know how freezing it is. And as a two-year-old, he, when he wet the bed, his father would drag him out into the cold and lash him to the base of the clothesline and leave him out there all night. Now, I'm not saying that we can justify or he can justify what he did, his actions as he got older, but you have to say that that type of upbringing from that age, being treated like that, has to have had a dramatic effect on his future.
Mm.
I say I'm not making excuses for the scum. Look at the father.
Of course, of course.
And in this particular case, this guy's grandmother was a fucking psychopath. And it's when I read that, because I did a bit of research on this particular case, and I read it, and I read it again, and I read it again, and I thought, you know what, this can't be real. So I went through the coronial findings, and I put together all the information, and that these are facts introduced into evidence. So it's that's good enough for me. And it's scary. But then what happened was, once you get a taste of killing, so they say, you then yearn to keep going. Then he and his girlfriend, they caught a taxi up in Collaroy, and this was the father. I think he had six children. They caught a ride, and then he was in the back seat, and he slit the driver's throat, basically tried to cut his head off. And again, a terrible, terrible crime. The girl was there at the time. Yeah, then what happened was with that particular guy, they cut his head off, and they then wrapped his torso in mesh. They threw it into the river. It actually came up, floated up. They actually did it in pit water, up in the pit water river location. The offender, he was actually stabbed in the chest during the fight.
Hang on. So the guy who he reaches over the seat and tries to, you know, use the knife on the driver, and then the driver stabs him?
Yeah, well, when the father of six was being attacked in the cab with his sharpened meat knife, the 42-year-old dad, he's valiantly fought for his life. And Mr. Leonard, first name, he stabbed the cab driver 37 times and slashed his throat. Now, in anyone's books, 37 times is a lot. So it's a very, you can't imagine.
It's frenzied, you know.
It's frenzied, that's right.
Yeah.
The cab driver tried to grab the knife from the driver during the struggle, and they managed to turn off the taxi's ignition. But the jury later rejected the girl who was guilty of murder. When they went to get attention for this stab wound, you know, at St. Vincent's Hospital, of course, the hospital notified the police, and the police came in and, you know, just sort of, that's what sort of instigated the examination, you know, the whole process. But this couple who'd committed this terrible crime, they'd been actually discussing making a movie about the whole thing, about the killing of the taxi driver. And they were clearly insane. While all this had been happening, the body, the torso, was still in the freezer at his apartment.
Oh, shit.
And then he got back, and then he wrapped that in chicken wire. So you know how I said before about the taxi driver? That was wrong. I'm sorry. He had his throat slit and was stabbed 37 times, you know. But with the other guy in the freezer, he still had to get rid of that. So then he threw that into pit water, and then that came back up because you know how dead bodies, they start to sort of fill up with air.
Yeah.
And then the boat, and then it came ashore. And then they began to unravel the entire case. And, yeah, it's pretty heavy. But, Paul, as if all I've told you and the listeners is pretty bad or isn't bad enough, two things that are an aside to the story but very, very interesting. And one of them is that your grandmother, my mother,
yes,
who taught at the same school you went to when you first went to school, I've got a photograph of you standing like the sweetest little kid in your little shorts outside Cromer Public School. Well, the murderer went to that school as well, and your grandmother taught him. Isn't that incredible?
Dad, your stories sometimes do like wind and weave a little bit. And I was sitting here going, why did this story come up at all? And then I remember that last episode, yeah, you mentioned that grandma taught a guy who killed someone with a crossbow, and this is the story of that guy. So, okay, so when did she teach him?
Well, I can get the specifics, but it would have been, well, I guess, okay, let's work it out. He was in his 20s in the 80s, so mum would have taught him probably in the 80s, early 80s.
70s maybe? 70s, 80s?
I'll talk to mum and find out exactly, and maybe, look, she may even tell me some other weird shit about it. Like, she may have some sort of repressed memories of what he was like as a student, or he may have been an incredibly, he's a really smart guy.
Yeah, it's also possible that there's a case of, I mean, there could be a case of confirmation bias. You know, when you talk to someone who knew somebody who did something awful and they go, oh yeah, I always thought he was weird, but it's possible that their current memories are being coloured by the fact of what they found out. Yeah,
you're right. But Paul, I'm not going to say I'm obsessed with wristwatches, but when I was maybe, when I was I was probably 11 or 12 in Beacon Hill. There used to be the Beacon Hill Plaza, which is now McDonald's/service station.
Yep.
But it's called the Beacon Hill Plaza. And every afternoon I used to go to the newsagent, buy some mixed lollies back in the day when you could buy 5 cents worth, which was basically a whole bag. There was a chemist shop next door, and every single afternoon after school, 5 afternoons a week, bearing in mind that I'm not obsessive, but I actually really am. And I used to stand outside that shop window, the chemist window, and he used to sell Timex watches. And I used to just fantasize about one day I'd be able to buy myself a watch. And the watches that were really like a diving watch, because I, even though I'd never done any diving, I just had this feeling that one day I'd do scuba diving. And that's what inspired me to get the mowing run, do the Manly Daily run, work at Woolies pushing trolleys and the parcel pickup, and just getting money that I could eventually I bought my first Timex diving watch from the chemist shop. And it cost me $30. And it turns out this lovely, lovely chemist, and I can remember him, he looked like, the best analogy I can give you is he kind of looked like Colonel Sanders. He just had that white hair. He just had this air of sort of, he was a gentleman. He was so lovely, kind. He used to let me try watches on. And he probably thought, God, when is this guy going to buy a watch? I was only 12 or 13. But eventually I did get the watch, $29. Here's the sad thing, Paul. That terrible, terrible guy that murdered those people and dismembered. He used to play with the body parts. Well, this chemist was his grandfather. Isn't that incredible?
So doesn't that mean, hang on, so was his wife the guy with the cats?
Well, I was thinking about that this morning coming back over the Harbour Ridge. I was preparing myself mentally for this story, and of course it could have been the other side of the family, couldn't it? But we don't know about that. I can talk to my mother about that
as
well.
That's fucking weird. What a small world.
Small world. It all happened on the northern beaches. Many, many of your stories in your first and second book take place. And if you can imagine amplifying the geography. Having said that, I think the northern beaches of Sydney were pretty whacked out. I think there are some places in Sydney that were... I remember growing up as a teenage boy on the northern beaches, and I just remember that it was surreal.
Yeah.
But it was amazing as well. It was just such a great place to grow up.
There's a really interesting kind of vibe to these stories, and I think partly the geography affects them. And I really hope that especially Electric Blue really does capture that kind of weirdness, because it's got a kind of David Lynch vibe at certain points. Honestly, your stories are really upsetting, and I think this has been a absolute belter of an episode, and really, frankly, disturbing. But I mean, obviously, sometimes we look at this show and go, okay, so it's during the Fire Brigade years, but this felt like a very natural thing to dip back into. So we hope you enjoyed this episode of Loose Units, and don't forget to join us later in the week for an episode of Loose Ends. And also, yeah, thank you so much for pre-ordering the book and getting it to up to number 3. Dad, do you think we can get it up to number 1?
Without a doubt. In fact, is there a number higher than 1?
It's like some letter on the Greek alphabet or something. Get it up to alpha. But I really do want to just say thank you so much. I'm so happy with this book, and I think you'll really like it. And I hope I did Dad's stories justice in it.
And also, Paul, let's just again thank our wonderful, wonderful listeners. I mean, we had feedback from Japan yesterday. And, you know, the longer they listen to the podcasts and become – it's like a – I don't like to use – yes, I do. I'll use a cliche. We are like a family. Not the family that were a bunch of psychopaths, but we're like a close-knit group that find, you know, comfort and solace, even though my stories are not always comforting.
Yeah.
But people have come along for the ride, and for those people that have been with us since the year dot, which is actually 2 years ago, so that's not the dot, of course. Yeah, it's great, and you know, we're getting some very, very strong feedback in relation to the podcast about the funeral business, and boy, oh boy. It's going to open up a can of worms.
Yep, it's going to be a whole thing. So we've got a very, very interesting, super, super packed year with heaps of news that we can't talk about just yet.
See what I just did then with the word worms? You know, working with you has been the thrill, Paul. I love working with you. We've got a great rapport, and, you know, it's wonderful. It's an enviable relationship we have in terms of father-son. It's been fantastic. I love working with you.
Oh, you too, Dad. It's great. It's really just changed my life for the better. It's fantastic stuff. I really hope at some point we get to be at some awards ceremony and we get to kind of wave some things around and sort of thank everyone in person.
What would you wave around? You'd be more specific.
Probably the award.
Oh, cool. Well, it could be heavy.
That's why we lift it together. Oh.
On that note.
Yep, on that note. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Loose Units, and we'll see you later this week. Bye.
Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.